Welcome to 3GT, the podcast for three guys, a pastor, a professor, and a parishioner discuss theology from a practical standpoint, all from a Reformed perspective. Find out more at 3GT.xyz.
Well, thank you for tuning in to another episode of Three Guys Theologizing. This is Kyle Borg, recording from my studio, which really is just a desktop staring out the back window of my house here in Winchester, Kansas. I am joined today with my regular co-host, Barry York. Barry, how are things in Beaver, Pennsylvania? Aside from the traffic, how has your snow been?
It has been deep. And a lot of shoveling here over the weekend. I think we hit about 17, 18 inches up our way. So that's the most we've seen since I've lived here over the past 12 years.
My goodness, that sounds... I always tell people, so Kansas sees a little bit of snow, but not... Born and raised in Minnesota, Kansas sees no snow. And I always tell people, I moved to Kansas for the tropical paradise that it is. But we got 6 or 7 inches this week. So it's, you guys got a lot more than we did.
And did you have to shovel or do you have your deacons
except,
do that?
Okay. So we do have a deacon who also is contracted to do snow removal at the church. So he often does the bigger part of our driveway, but here's for all the people that don't know much about snow. Snow can have different moisture content, and so like a heavier moisture content snow is the kind that you can make a really good snowball with. That is miserable. That's like backbreaking to shovel. Our snow had zero, it seemed to have zero moisture. I literally just swept 6 inches off. It took almost nothing. It was actually one of the best snows for snow removal I've ever done. So
I think it's actually physically impossible to have zero moisture content.
Yeah, I understand.
I think it would melt and make water.
Sure. I think that our listeners are smart enough to understand what I was trying to say. So we are not theologizing today about snow. So we're going to bring that conversation to a close. Scott, whether he's real or fiction, nobody really knows, but Scott is not with us today. He apparently had a trial case going a little long this afternoon. And last I heard, he was still in the courtroom, but that is okay because we are joined by a good friend and we are thankful to have him with us. We are joined today by Stephen Steele, who is the pastor of the Stranraer Reformed Presbyterian Church of the Reformed Presbyterian Church of Scotland. And we've invited him on to talk about a cooperative that he is part of and actually one that I am part of. And Barry, I know that you know some things about it, and we're excited about some good things that are happening in Stranraer, and we've invited Stephen on to give a little bit of his ministry context, his pastoral work there, but also to speak of this cooperative. So that's what we're going to do today. And so, Stephen, we're really glad to have you with us.
Thanks. It's good to be on the RPA equivalent of the Joe Rogan Experience.
This is, yeah. which, by the way, speaking of the Joe Rogan Experience, this is going to be a 3.5 hour unscripted, just sit down and talk all things ministry. So get ready for it. I'm actually quite flattered to be compared to Joe Rogan. And I know right there, we're probably going to get some nasty emails of complaint. But anyway, we are glad to have you with us. So, Stephen, in case people that are frequent listeners, you know, you might not know this, but Three Guys Theologizing tops the podcast lists in Argentina. We have still never met an actual listener, but that is what Barry found once on the interwebs, is that we are a high-rated podcast in Argentina. So some of our Argentinian listeners might not be familiar with you. If you just want to spend a couple of minutes introducing yourself, a little bit about your family and your ministry before we get into the cooperative.
Yeah, my ruling elder here in Stranraer does keep me updated about your Argentinian fans. So I was familiar with that. So I'm pastor in Stranraer in southwest Scotland, originally from Northern Ireland, brought up in the RP church there. Married to Carla, who's a pastor's daughter. Her father is Andrew Quigley, who was pastor in Scotland for around 23, 24 years and is now in Ottawa in Canada. So we have four kids from eight down to three, and we've been in Stranraer for 10 years.
Eight down to three, you are in the throes of it. How joyful and glad our children make us. So you're in Stranraer. Now, we might have a lot of listeners that are unfamiliar with the geography of Scotland. You said it was in the southwest, but can you give us a little bit of the lay of the land with regards to Stranraer and as a community?
Yeah, we're a fairly remote community. So a town of about 10,000 people goes to about 13,000 if you take in the surrounding villages, but we're about an hour and a half each direction from the nearest bigger towns, and the roads aren't great. There definitely is a sense of being cut off from the rest of Scotland. You can get we're just beside the ferry port, so you can get a ferry to Ireland, to Belfast, as quick as you can get to Glasgow.
Man, a community of 10,000 to 13,000 people, that's like a booming metropolitan district in my book. But no, that is a small town. And you said you've been there for 10 years, a rural community there in Scotland. What are some of the, I know that you've made a number of presentations. So every 4 years, the Reformed Presbyterian Church of North America hosts its RP International Conference. Stephen spoke there a couple years ago, as well as has visited some churches to share similarly about a lot of the needs that exist both in your community and in Scotland as a whole. As Presbyterians, we sometimes probably have very romanticized views of Scotland. It was should be a covenanted nation. It the birthplace of what we often call Presbyterianism, even though it's totally apostolic, so it's really not the birthplace of Presbyterianism. But we can have a romanticized idea of what Scotland's like. But as a pastor with boots on the ground, can you give us some of the lay of the spiritual lay of the land?
Yeah, that's where I usually start when I'm talking about Scotland and ask folk, especially if they're from the States or elsewhere, what comes into your mind when you think of Scotland, and maybe put up a few pictures of Braveheart or the Hogwarts Express from Harry Potter, or the Covenanters. But
Barry, real quick, Barry, do you get those references to Harry Potter and Braveheart? Is that over your head?
I'm tracking with them. Just don't ask me if I've watched the movies.
Okay.
Yeah, and of course, John Knox and the Covenanters, but the Scotland today is very different. The majority of people in Scotland, according to the last census, have no religion. Scotland is the drug death capital of Europe. Male life expectancy is very low, compared to many other countries. So yeah, there's lots of despair and hopelessness, and there's a great heritage there which many people either they don't know anything about, or that there may be some sort of sense of pride from a nationalistic type idea, but nothing in terms of the spiritual state of it. And the national church, the Church of Scotland, which was a in its day was a reformed church, a Presbyterian church, is just in free fall and probably won't exist in another decade or so.
Man. It's one thing. So you cited some statistics and I think those are helpful, but just as a pastor, like what's your personal experience of some of that? You give the grim numbers and things like that. How do you find yourself experiencing that in Stranraer?
Yeah, I think it does reflect some of the people that we're seeing come in through the doors, and even some of the conversions that we've seen. I think we've seen people in maybe in their 50s who were brought up, and their parents wouldn't have been Christians, but they would have been sent to Sunday school in the church, just while they were young, probably just to get them out of the house. And they've good memories from that. They've maybe not been to church since they were 7 or 8, but they've maybe gone their own way in life, and some have had pretty rough lives, but they've got to a point where They're feeling their own mortality, and they want God in their lives, and we've seen some of those folk coming back to church. But yeah, some sad stories as well. We had one guy a few years ago, I think was professing faith, again, a background of drug addiction, and he was hoping to be baptized the following year, but over Christmas, and Christmas is for him, but for many with addiction issues, Christmas is just a big challenge, and he overdosed over Christmas, and sadly passed away. And I was able to speak at his funeral, but yeah, it does feel life or death at times. Some of the guys that we're dealing with, they're either going to be converted or they're going to die just through drugs often, or alcohol.
Yeah, those realities are, I mean, you meet those in the pastoral ministry. Those are very challenging. So can you tell us a little bit about your church? There you are in the southwest corner of Scotland in a small rural community, in a country that is spiritually very dark, experiencing, just the realities of life in a fallen and miserable world. What's your church like? What's the history of the congregation? What is its present makeup?
It has a great history. So it's been around since about 1796, and its most famous pastor was William Symington, who's relatively well known through books such as Messiah the Prince. So our current church building, our new church building, was built in 1825. So we just had our 200th anniversary in the current building. And built to hold 700 people, but has been, I think, has been in decline for a long time. I feel in some ways Stranraer's quite unique. It's 100 miles from the nearest RP church, and that's 2 hours today on relatively good roads. Back, you read about the 19th century, and people in Stranraer want to go to Glasgow, and they get on a boat to go up to the rest of Scotland. So real sort of geographic isolation, a lot of nominalism. When my predecessor came in 1980, there were eight ruling elders, and he reckons of the eight, six of them weren't believers, and I think he later revised that up to seven of them not being believers. So if that's the spiritual state of the eldership, then it's no surprise that the congregation's not going to be in a healthy spiritual state either. And after 7 years, the congregation couldn't afford to pay him, so he was full time for 7 years, and then part time for the rest of his ministry. And we recently, a few years ago, had the first ordination of a ruling elder in 50 years. So I think that has to be pretty unique.
Yeah, man, oh man, that's helpful. So let's get into there is a new group project. I don't know, a cooperative, I guess, is what we want to call it, which I've been a part of, and you have as well. For our listeners, a couple of years ago, the Winchester congregation formed what we have loosely called a sister relationship with the Stranraer congregation, which primarily for a time just existed. It was a relationship in which we kept each other informed on things going on in our congregations. I think some of our young people drew pictures, traded letters or something. I should be a better pastor and know exactly what happened. There's been committed times of prayer for the work going on in Stranraer. And that was something that we just started kind of motivated by actually one of the ruling elders in our congregation here in Winchester. And that has slowly over the last couple of years developed into something we are calling the Stranraer Renewal Cooperative. Like I said, I'm part of that. Stephen is part of that. Barry, I know you have talked to those that are involved in that. But Stephen, you want to give us just an overview of that? What is this renewal cooperative? What's that all about?
Yeah, so it's probably nothing new or unusual. It wouldn't be unusual for churches in the UK to look particularly to the States for financial help. The church in the mainland UK has been described as opportunity rich but resource poor. Lots of opportunities, just with de-Christianization, hopelessness. People aren't living under the assumption that they're Christians, and so a lot of people are coming back to church. It's not unusual to have people seeking a church, but churches are often small and struggling. So the idea of looking maybe to the States for financial help, that wouldn't be a new thing. But one thing that we've really felt our need of is financial help's great, but not so much bucks, but bodies, as I put it, just boots on the ground. We don't have to go too long in Stranraer without new people coming in. Stranraer's it's the smallest church that I've been involved in, but also the church where it's more common for just new people to turn up. We have new Christians. We have people searching, but they come in and we don't have many established Christians, just the spiritual state of the congregation for the last long time. So we've a real need just of people to model the Christian life, and also people who are used to doing church, if you can put it like that. People who you can ask to go and organize something, a social event for the congregation, something like that, and they've seen it done. Whereas people come in and they're converted, and it's great and it's exciting, but they've no experience of church. They haven't seen any other churches, and so people say, well, you should delegate stuff, but it's hard to delegate when people haven't seen things done. So yeah, basically made a plea at the RP International Conference in 2024 for people to consider coming short term, and again, a lot of times people hear short term and they think of young people, college students coming for a week, but we've been particularly helped by mostly retired couples coming for from 5 weeks to 3 months, and that has been such a blessing. And over the course of last year, 2025, we had five couples or families. We had one young family with kids over the summer, but otherwise it was retired couples, mostly from the RPCNA, but we had one couple from the OP church as well. And they just come and spoken about this before, and people said, oh, I thought you had to be ordained to do something like that, but they've just come and been ordinary church members in a different location for a few months, and it's been a real blessing and encouragement. And there's just the this the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few.
Yeah, so we debated with the name and should it be called the Stranraer Sheep Stealing Cooperative. I'm kidding. So, but right, so this has been one of the things that we have gained more of a vision for. A lot of times, and especially I won't speak for the UK mindset, but the American mindset often is, when something is weak and flailing and struggling, we'll just throw money at it. And we see that at least politically, we see that in rural communities. But really, the heart and we will have some way to contribute financially near the end of the episode. But the heart of what Stephen is saying and the Stranraer Renewal Cooperative has been bodies over bucks. And Stephen is talking about how some, especially retired couples, have been able to go and be a mutual encouragement over there. We have one of our ruling elders here in Winchester, and his wife, both whom are retired, went for three months last year, during the winter months, and then they returned in January, to Stranraer again for a 2 month visit this time, and we've seen a lot of good things from that. Just the presence of a couple new faces, even for a short term like that, I think has left a good and profound impact. Do you agree with that, Stephen? I mean, I think you have, but what are some of the things that they do when they come over? How are they serving? How are they contributing?
Yeah, it has been a huge blessing. One really simple thing when the elder and his wife, who you mentioned when they came first last January, we started a second kid Sunday school class. So we had one kid Sunday school class, but we were able to start a second class. And there's no one really in the church at the minute who could teach that. And we've been able to keep that going, other than a week here or there, maybe not even a week here or there missing, right through 2025, and it's still going. But currently, just the way the congregation is, if our visitors from the States were to stop coming, it'd be a real struggle to keep that second Sunday school class going. So, there's that's one example. Just bodies on the ground on the Lord's Day is a big thing, especially people who are switched on and ready to welcome visitors and talk to visitors, and follow up with visitors that come in. We've tried over the last 10 years to really foster the body life of the congregation. So we have a monthly church lunch on the first Lord's Day of the month. We have a church supper, or snack time, you might call it, after the evening service, and those have been really great for fostering fellowship. But there's just a lot of practical load on very few people. So practical help with that sort of stuff is great, just sort of providing food and helping with washing up and things like that. But and outreach opportunities as well. In the community, for example, in the school, every third week I'm in the local high school and have the opportunity to talk to kids at the lunch break. I have a table that they can come up with questions about God, Jesus, the Bible. It's a high school of about 1,000 pupils, great opportunity. And some of our American visitors have been going in there. And the current couple here with us, they're planning to start a weekly lunchtime group, a big questions lunch club, that people can come along to from next week. But it does really vary, depending on the gifts and abilities of those who come. Some who've come have been really practically minded, and we don't have any deacons. And we have a 200-year-old church building and a 150-year-old manse or parsonage. So there's always lots of practical stuff to do. But as some people aren't practically minded at all, and they've focused more on meeting up with people in the congregation. People are cut off geographically. A lot of people don't really leave the town, they don't really leave the area. And so fellowship has been good, and helping with Bible studies, men's studies, just helping out with the core families as well. So just all sort of manner of things, and some are planned before people come, and some just arise as things are happening.
Yeah, I like that a lot, right? It's the picture and knowing some of the people that have gone. It's just the picture of going over and serving as for all intents and purposes, regular members in the church, to help lend a hand where the Lord has gifted and given graces and to really help strengthen even something that is growing weak. And I like that variety from teaching to outreach and interactions. We also had a deacon from our congregation who went over for a couple of weeks last year, and I know he was busy doing some projects in the church. So we have that going on. What is the cooperative all about? So we're talking about the Strenar Renewal Cooperative. What's your perspective on that work, and those meetings? If you could just explain that to somebody.
I think I'd explain the cooperative as a group of ministers and elders, including ourselves in Stranraer, but also others from various congregations in the RPCNA, who've just sort of seen how organically things have developed over the last year, really, with these couples and families coming, and I've seen the encouragement that it's been to us in Stranraer, and also seeing the encouragement from those who've come. And there's on our church website, I can give details later, but you can read about people who've come and their experiences and what they've benefited from as well. So I think they've just seen the good that's done and been trying to prolong that, and providing a bit of financial help as well. So far, those who've come, or at least those who came last year, were coming at their own expense. They were paying rental for the property that's rented at their own expense. As a congregation, we're not self-supporting, and so that was a big expense and a big commitment for people coming over. So the Renewal Collective is trying to cover some of those expenses to make it easier for people to come, and also to provide housing as well. It's very, very hard to find property to rent in Stranraer. So I mean, a big goal, a stretch goal would be to try and buy a property in Stranraer. Compared to the rest of the UK, property in Stranraer is fairly inexpensive. But if we could have our own property, that would be great. But in God's providence, we've managed to rent a property so far, and that's been it's been good. A bit of a squeeze for the bigger families, but certainly for the retired couples, and maybe with those with one or two kids, it's been good.
Yeah, I think that's helpful. I think that gives a good picture. We've defined ourselves as a bit of a grassroots. We're not, in that sense, we're not denominationally sponsored. We have not sought to go through at this point denominational arms or even presbytery. But as Stephen said, the Stranraer congregation, of course, is involved, as is College Hill out in Beaver Falls, Pennsylvania, Shawnee, Kansas, and the Winchester congregation. And I think when I think about the Renewal Cooperative Collective, I forget the exact name. I should probably know it. But I think there's a big key word there, and it's renewal. One of the things that I often remind people, especially if I get, for instance, the opportunity to speak about rural ministry. We live in a church context that is really bedazzled by church planting. And I don't mean to speak ill of church planting. Church planting is great. We love to see new churches, new works being established. But if the pendulum has swung too far, it's probably swung a little too far in that direction at times. And the idea of renewal, the idea of revitalization, of strengthening those congregations that are weak. It doesn't come with all the lights and glamour and glitter as church planting sometimes, but it is as necessary a work. I often point out to people, the Apostle Paul was both a church planter, but also a church revitalizer, especially the churches that he helped plant. They grew weak, they had problems, they needed strengthening, and Paul did that. Paul did that through personal ministry, he did that through letters, he did that through leaving Titus in Crete to set everything into order, things like that. And I think that's one of the things that excites me about this group is that it's a vision for renewal, to not despise the day of small things, but to help strengthen a congregation. I mean, aside from just what a wonderful gospel witness the congregation in Stranraer is, it does have a long history. And it's that is a community that deserves to have the gospel of Jesus Christ preached. And if that's going to happen, it's going to happen through faithful churches. So I think that makes me pretty excited about the work that we're doing. So what are some particular needs, Stephen, when you think about the work going on there, when you think about the weeks, months, the year ahead, what are some specific needs being identified right now?
I think we're just trying to keep the flow of people coming. So we already have a number of couples or families signed up for this year. We have a gap coming up from sort of mid-March through to the end of April, and then from September onwards, our calendar is clear. So really just trying to encourage people to think about coming, and it could be for a couple of years. we've experienced it in different churches. Maybe a young couple gets married and says, "Well, we're going to go and serve in Australia or in Scotland for a year or 2, 3, 4 years." It could be something like that. It for us in Stranraer so far, it's mostly been retired couples, which has also been great, and they've brought lots of experience to the table. But yeah, that's what we're looking to continue as well. And yeah, there's a bit of financial support in place that, God willing, we'll keep that going for a year or two. But we'd love to make this sort of a permanent feature.
Barry, did you hear that? Middle of March, they're looking for somebody to go over for a few weeks. You and Miriam want to take a little Scottish vacation?
That would be nice. Be nice to do. One of the things I wanted to say is that, of course, our own congregation, River Valley, has a special heart for Scotland, as our pastor Ian Gillis is from there, and we do pray for Scotland regularly. And I just wondered, when you talk about a renewal effort in the church, what is the way in which you're encouraging a spirit of prayer there? And do you have ways that you communicate those prayer requests to others?
Yeah, so really, since we started here in Stranraer, we were really conscious of the need of prayer, and just conscious that it's a town of 10,000 people, and on a Lord's Day, you probably wouldn't even have 100 of those at a gospel preaching church. So maybe less than 1% of the town as believers. So there are not many people in Stranraer, praying for Stranraer, but by God's grace, there are now a lot of people and churches around the world praying for Stranraer. So, yeah, we send out a prayer email every few months, just making people aware of the needs, and I've had different opportunities to share with churches. We have a lot of churches in Northern Ireland praying for us. Stranraer is so close to Northern Ireland. There's just a lot of historic connections there. I think actually every minister of Stranraer since about 1912 or something like that has actually been from Northern Ireland rather than Scotland. So that'd be great if that changed one day in the future, but that has been God's provision up to now. But yeah, lots of prayer needs that we try and make people aware of. One pretty cool story is a few years ago, a number of the local family doctors, they're actually a few Christian family doctors, they'd all sort of moved over to Stranraer together, mostly from Northern Ireland. They'd become part of the Baptist Church, but they were all retiring around the same time. And they put together a prayer letter, highlighting the prayer need. Well, first, just for doctors to come to the area. It's really hard to attract doctors. It's hard to attract teachers. We're so far from the big cities. People say, well, there's nothing for younger people. It's really hard to retain people. Almost everyone sort of reaching the age where they leave school. If you go around and ask them, are they planning to stay in Stranraer? Almost everyone is planning to leave. So they highlighted a prayer need just for that God would provide doctors to begin with, but then particularly Christian doctors. And we circulated that in our prayer email. And there was a trainee doctor and his wife in one of the other RP churches, and they read that. And they decided to move to Stranraer, and they're still here, and he is now my ruling elder, that first elder ordained in 50 years. So we've seen some great answers to prayer, and I think a lot of the stuff that happens, you think that's just in response to prayers, maybe people who've never even been in Stranraer, but we're really conscious of that.
So we're coming near the end of the time here, but I think this has been a very helpful sales pitch. I kid. It's true. So what? How can people find out more information about all of this? Whether they're interested in contributing, or you said that there are some spaces open. Again, emphasizing that retired couples have found themselves to be very useful and good there, but. In that sense, not a ton of restrictions, but How can people learn more about the Stranraer Renewal Cooperative? How can they get involved?
Yeah, the best place is our website, which you can go to stranraer.church. So Stranraer dot church. And if you go there, there's a renewal link along the top. So if you go to the page about renewal, that'll give you some information. And there's also a contact form on the site. So if you contact us through that'll come directly to me. And yeah, it's always really exciting hearing about people who are considering coming over. And if folk make that initial contact, there's more information that I can send them.
Great. I know that Stranraer means a lot to you. I know that gospel ministry and the Lord Jesus Christ means a lot to you. So in your closing word, what would be the last appeal that you make to people?
Yeah, I think I'm going to borrow an appeal from an Englishman. He wrote an article entitled "Pulling the Plug" a few years ago. So it was around the time that the UK and the US pulled out of Afghanistan. And I'll quote a bit of his article. He said, "As I watched some of the distressing news footage of the withdrawal from Kabul, I felt ashamed that we should abandon ordinary people to the mercy of the Taliban. But then it hit me that maybe something just as shameful is going on spiritually. All over the country, many little churches are on their last legs. If they close, and it seems as if the vast majority will in the next few years, then we will be abandoning whole communities to something far worse than even the Taliban. We will be leaving them to the tender mercies of Satan, sin, and secular values, which take people to a lost eternity. The last witness to the Lord Jesus Christ will go out like a light." And I think there are people who are listening to this podcast who by God's grace, can help make sure that doesn't happen. And he concluded that article. He said, "It's time to take a look at ourselves. It's time to be brave." He says that you're not lesser than those who went before you. The arm of the Lord is not shorter than it was before. Let's not pull the plug. Let's find those places that need the gospel and go there.
Sign me up. That's a great closing word. That's a great closing word. Well, Stephen, thank you for your continued labors there for the cause of Christ and the gospel. And again, to any of our listeners, if this has even just piqued your interest, no commitments yet, but head over to that website, stranraer.church, and on the right-hand side, you will see a drop-down menu where you can read not only about the church, but moving to Stranraer as well as this renewal. If going there and providing bodies is not something that you're able to do, but you would like to financially contribute, there's also some information on the website regarding that. Otherwise, you can feel free to reach out to me as well. You can reach me through the podcast email, 3gt.xyz@gmail.com. With any inquiries, and we'll be sure to follow up. Well, Stephen, thank you very much for joining us for this episode of Three Guys Theologizing. To our listeners, we thank you as well and appreciate your continued support. We'll see you next time.